Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the time, this time once again, to dive into your word. We pray, Father, as we try to figure out how to help us to see how our faith intersects with our work or our school lives, how this all works together. And Holy Spirit, would you give us courage to share our faith. Father, give us wisdom, give us knowledge. Help us to see how you intersect every area and aspect of our lives. Lord, it's in your name we pray. Amen. So this week, we are going to look at how our lives, whether we're working or we're at school, intersect our lives of faith. And the reason we have to do this is because of this. We are not just Christians for 1 hour on Sundays. We are to be followers of Christ on every day that ends in Y. I'll give you a second. Every day. Not just 9:30 to 10:30, and then whenever we go to Walmart, we can act like a fool. Like that's not how this works. Like every day, all day, we are to be followers of Jesus. That's what Jesus calls us to do. Now, this is something we really don't discuss a whole lot in the church, and not just Grace, but in churches in general. We don't really get practical how-to tips on how our faith lives and our work lives and our school lives merge together, but they do and they should. But oftentimes we're afraid about that. I've heard many things said to me as a pastor over the years when talking about, hey, why can't you just share your faith at work? And people go, well, Pastor Danny, like, I could get fired. Like, I can't say or do certain things at school. You know, if I'm reading my Bible or if I'm asking somebody to pray with them, they'll make fun of me. Like, what do I do? And so what I want you to see today is that you don't have to quit your job and move to Guatemala or Costa Rica or other faraway places to share your faith as a follower of Jesus. That you can do that in your daily lives, no matter where you work, where you go to school, there's practical ways that you can do this. And so there's those of us who think we have to leave and give up everything, give up our jobs. And then there's those of us who, when we're trying to share our faith, we feel like we got to put Jesus sauce on everything we say or do. I mean, you know the people, the person who on casual Friday, when you're supposed to wear your Hawaiian shirt, instead wears the Jesus Save shirt. That guy, right? Or the person who sneaks in the office in the middle of the night to rearrange the cubicles or all the sticky notes to spell Jesus. Maybe you've done it. I hope not. See, the bottom line is the intersection of our faith and work is less about doing your job in a different way than instead realizing that God is working through your job that you already have. God is at work through you, no matter what job you possess. Now, there is a caveat. If you're doing a job that is not of God, that would be not God-pleasing. For example, if you're in the mafia, if you're a hitman, this is probably not a place where God is going to be at work. That's not God-pleasing. For most of us, at least I hope, we're doing vocations that are pleasing to God. And if not, come talk to me. We'll have some counseling. We'll try to figure something out for y'all. So here's the way it works. God is at work. Your job is divine in origin and is desperately needed. Your job matters. You can serve God and his people in the middle of it, no matter what you do. Even if you're retired, you can serve God. We have to answer this question, though. What's your picture of God? Usually there's three answers that, one of three answers somebody would have with this. So most people, the picture of God is one of these three. Number one, God is absent. Number two, God is observing. Or number three, God is active. So if God is absent in the world, it looks like this. God exists, but he's nowhere near us. You could almost picture like he's 20,000 feet up in the air. He exists, but he's not anywhere near us. We really can't see him or feel him or experience him. He's just out there somewhere. The second answer would be God is observing. He may be present, he may be observing, but he's very hands-off. He's around in the world, but he's letting the world work out everything on its own. The third way to answer this question is God is active. God is active and present and making his power known in the world. And this third view, this is the worldview that followers of Jesus have. That God is active in his world. That he is at work. And the scripture leads us to nothing else than this actually being the truth. He's intimately involved. Even just look at the blessing and gift of baptism. What do we say whenever a child or an adult is baptized? That the Holy Spirit dwells where? It's not out there somewhere. Where's the Holy Spirit dwell? Right here in your heart. Meaning he's present, he's active, he's right there with you. Even throughout scripture you see this. Psalm 145 says, you open your hand and you satisfy the desire of every living thing. Is this a picture of a God who's absent or who's active? Psalm 147 says this, he heals the brokenhearted, he binds up their wounds. He blesses your children within you. He declares his statutes. Isn't this a God who's active, who's involved with you? He's intimately involved in his creation. He's not just distant. So the question for thinking people is this. If this is true, if God is in fact active, then how is he involved in his creation? Well, he's active through his word. We know that as Christians. We also know that he's active through his creation, i.e., you. He's active through you. He's doing this through you. He's healing through you. He's providing through you. He's protecting through you. Martin Luther calls this, describes this as mask of God. Mask of God. These actually were like tools today, huh? That's pretty cool. So it may look like you are working really hard on those reports or that article. It may look like you are working hard to clean your house or to bathe your kids or to prepare that lunch. It may look like the person that is in the kitchen is just, man, cooking away and baking away at that breakfast place that you love to stop at on your way into work. But behind it all is the mask of God. And this is what this means. God is working through his people to serve his people. God is behind it all. He's doing it all. Even though human beings are doing it, God ultimately is the one at work. This is what Martin Luther is talking about when he refers to mask of God. And so you have to know the divine God is working through you, whether you believe in him or not. God is working through the atheist firefighter and the Christian firefighter. God is working through the atheist police officer and the Christian police officer. The work that you do is a vehicle for God's provision to others. You see all the people around you working, whether you go to the store, you see people at your house doing plumbing or electric work, the doctors, the nurses, everybody around you. God is providing and working in and through his people. He's even working through everyone who refuses to believe. You need an example? Let's use our grocery store analogy because we've been talking about grocery stores for like the last 2 weeks. So we'll just go with it. Let's say you need some bread from Kroger. There's a lot that happens before that bread gets there, right? First, you have the farmer, in this instance, who happens to be Christian. He has some atheist workers that are pulling the wheat, that are working the machines. And then the wheat is processed in the way that it is processed to be viable enough to then be made into bread. Let's say the bakers are atheist at Oro Wheat or Mrs. Baird's or whatever bread company you like going through, Cost Cutter, I don't know, whatever kind of bread you use. They are atheist. They now make the bread. The bread is packaged by a very nice Christian person. And then the bread is boxed up by an atheist person, also nice. Then the bread is put into the truck. The atheist truck driver drives it down the road. The Christian person at Kroger opens up the truck, gets the bread out, loads it onto their carrier, and takes it to the atheist stocker, who also works with another Christian stocker, and they both put the bread up on the shelves. You get the bread from the store. The Christian checker checks you out. The atheist sacker puts it in your bag, and you take it home. Now, whether somebody that was serving in that whole analogy was Christian or atheist, God was using them, whether they knew it or not, because you're Christian, and an atheist helped get you some bread that you needed. See, God uses all of his people, whether they believe or not. And two things God provides. All jobs are a vehicle for either God's providence or God's provision. So God is using you to meet real needs in this world. How does God heal? He heals through doctors. He heals through nurses. He heals through pharmacists, getting you the medication so that you can take it. God provides through the baker or the website designer, the TSA worker, the dad, the mom. God provides through the financial manager. God provides through the parents who got up to make the eggs. God provides through the teacher inviting you and encouraging your son or your daughter. The coach that's investing in your son or daughter. God even provides through the IRS worker. He does. So how is God providing through your work? He is. You just have to look for it. He's providing. Whether you love your job or you loathe your job, he's providing. See, this is not about taking the extra God and smothering it all over your work and saying, oh, you know, God's working. I'm just going to put some Jesus sauce on it. No. No, it's God is working through you in the here and the now to provide for this world. All jobs are equally valuable and necessary. All work, whether you believe in God or not, including your work. It's a vehicle for God's provision. Your work isn't just mundane, it's divine. See, John Foreman of a band named Switchfoot says this: what is more Christ-like, feeding the poor, making furniture, cleaning bathrooms, or painting a sunset? Answer: they're all Christ-like. We all matter. Cleaning the bathrooms matters. Painting the sunset matters. It's important. It doesn't matter. There's no level of like, well, this one's better than the other. And even a view that a pastor is more Christian than a girls' volleyball coach is flawed. The stance that a worship leader is more spiritual than a janitor is kind of condescending. These different callings and purposes demonstrate God's sovereignty, that he uses all of us for his glory. Our work is a vehicle for God's provision. So if you're a follower of Jesus, your work is also not just a provider for God's provision, but a platform for God's presence. This is where you can impact those around you by being a follower of Jesus and it not cost you your job. Your job is a platform for the kingdom of God. Just by the fact that you're doing it. It changes your priorities, though, however, whenever you know Jesus is Lord and Savior. And it leads you to know, when you know Jesus is your Lord and Savior, that you can be generous, that you can be caring. You are looking for people who need mercy and grace. And you can use your job as a platform for the presence of Jesus to share that mercy and grace with those around you. So as a result, you don't engage in things like gossip or pettiness in the workplace. And no, it's not because you're more pious than everybody else. It's because you want to be an agent of peace and reconciliation in your workplace. You try to embody the values of Jesus. And so what's this look like? Well, maybe you hire the person who is capable and qualified for the job, but maybe they have some social baggage, but they could desperately use this job. So even though there's somebody else that's capable and qualified just like this person, they don't have the social baggage, but you say, you know what? This person needs that job. I'm going to walk alongside them. I'm going to share the love and grace of Jesus in the way that I know how. I'm going to hire them. Maybe you can be praying for the workers and fellow coworkers or students that you work with or you go to school with. It looks like this. Tuesday morning after Labor Day, you say hi to your coworker. Hey, did you have a good weekend? No. I lost one of my loved ones. I'm really hurting. And while they're telling you that, you can just be praying for them in your head. No. I think sometimes the definition of church and state that people have thrown out there that isn't correct, by the way, is just created fear in Christians. But we can't be people with fear. You got to stand up for your faith at your workplace too. You don't have to do it beating people over the head with the Bible. You can be praying for them. They will see your fruit in the fact that you're a follower of Jesus by treating them with love and respect and peace. Because everybody else who's not treating them that way, they'll see their fruit too. See, there's a person I know at a local restaurant who says his job is to provide people the best experience possible when they come to that restaurant. He's trying to be a platform for the presence of the kingdom of Jesus in his daily life, in his work. I know teachers in our public school systems, they're striving to be the light of Christ by simply being kind and loving, by sharing with the students and the other teachers that they interact with the parents, that they matter, that they're valued, that they're important. They believe that grace and mercy are the most powerful forces in the world. The grace and mercy of Jesus. And I do too. They can make an impact. And as a result, when we believe that, our work will stand out. You can use your job as a platform for the presence of the kingdom of Jesus. And look, some days you're going to get it really right, and some days you're going to bomb. It happens. Do your best to be faithful where Jesus has planted you. And when you don't get it right, ask your coworkers or your peers or your classmates for forgiveness. You know what? I was really wrong when I said that, when I did that. Please forgive me. That's being a picture of Christ to them too. Because all you have to do is think back in the news the last week, every week, it always happens where somebody got caught doing something and instead of just admitting they were wrong, what happens? They blame somebody else. As followers of Jesus, that is not how we are to live. We are to take responsibility for our behavior and to ask for forgiveness. It's a great picture for those around you. And so, if you believe that your work is not for you, that your work is not about you, instead it's that it's about your neighbor and to love your neighbor, to share your neighbor with your neighbor, it changes your approach on how you work, honestly. If you read the New Testament, you're going to see Jesus is obsessed with neighbors. Not like a, hey, you kids get off my lawn type neighbor. Not that type of obsession. But like Jesus is obsessed. You work for other people, your neighbors. The whole point is that life is not always just about you. But your life can be lived out as a blessing for those around you. You receive the grace and mercy of Jesus, and then you go out and you share that love and grace and mercy of Jesus with those in your circles of influence, those at work, at school, at home, in your neighborhood, at the grocery store, everywhere you encounter people. And so Matthew 22, verses 37 through 40 says this, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. The second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend on all the law and prophets." So how many hours do you spend at work each week? 40, 50, 70? I mean, work is not about you. It's about serving your neighbor. It's not a platform about you. It's a way you can bless others. See, followers of Jesus are supposed to be really strange. That's just the way we're supposed to be. Our calling is to see our work in this light. See, most of the world just goes, what do you do when you work? You work so you can get as much money as you can, and you get as much savings as you can, you get as much retirement as you can, so you get the biggest boat you can, the biggest house you can, biggest car, nicest car you can, fastest car you can, and then why? Where it's just all about you. And please hear me. I'm not saying you don't save for the future. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying it can't all be about you. There's plenty of scripture passages where you can't be storing everything in the storehouse on your own, right? It can't just be about us. See, we have to know, as followers of Jesus, there's things our jobs can't give us. I have a peace and joy that my job can't take away from me and can't give me because Jesus has given me those things, not my job. I can't earn them. Instead, he's given them to me as a gift. And as a result, I'm whole. See, the whole world is passing away. It's temporary. But now, because of what Jesus has given me, I'm free to bless the world and those around me with my work. This is weird for the world. Because it has to be, you got to just have everything for yourself. But what if we looked at it this way? If God is real, and this is the point of purpose of our work, is to love other people, love our neighbors, then we're spot on. by looking to serve our neighbors through our work. But if God is not real, we're the greatest suckers of all time because everyone else is building up their kingdoms and we're in trouble. I rather live in the worldview that we share and love our neighbors through our work. Because in that worldview, all work matters. It's all important. It all has value. In other worldviews in the world, not all the work matters. Some work is more valuable than others. But as a Christian, our work is important. It has value no matter what you do. Whether I own the oil and gas company or I pump gas for the oil and gas company, it's valuable. Whether I own the lab or I clean the lab, it has value. It matters. So, tangibly, what does this look like? Here's four things that you can focus on when working. How do you connect the work and school to your faith? Four things. Number one, you work or go to school in faith. You are aware that work or school is a mask of God, meaning you can love your neighbors. God is at work through you. And so you just have joy every day. Hey, Jesus, how are you going to use me today? This is going to be awesome. What are you going to do? I know it's mundane. I know I've got TPS reports. It doesn't matter. How am I going to be used today? Number two, you work in prayer. You're praying for people. Hey, Lord, me and my coworkers, we have this big project that we have going on. Would you just give us wisdom? Give us great collaboration today. Give us great partnership as we work on this project. Help us to get it done timely and help the customer to really appreciate our work and to value it. Amen. See how easy that is? Prayer. Be praying for your coworkers or your students. If you're a student today here and you're saying, how does this work for me? Your teacher can come in and you can just see that they're having a bad day. And you can just silently to yourself go, Heavenly Father, please be with my teacher today. Give her peace. Give him peace. Amen. You work in prayer. You work with pride, number three. You can see the purpose of every task. You work as if working for the Lord, no matter what your job, whether you love it or you loathe it, you work as if working for the Lord. You see the dignity and the value of your work, whether other people do or not. You know that it matters because it matters to God, and He is working through you. Number four, you work in the Holy Spirit. You're empowered by God in your job to make His kingdom known in small ways so that you can be a person of peace and you can reflect His love and mercy to those around you. You've received His gospel. Now you're a conduit of His love and His mercy in the world each and every day as you work. Jesus provides that for you. And He allows you to share it with others. See, here's the deal, friends. Jesus fulfilled his job that He had. The Father had placed on Him a very difficult task. And that task was to save you. Something your work can't do. Doesn't matter what people say or think about your work. Your value was paid for and bought with the blood of Christ. And through His resurrection 3 days later. And the beauty about that is that your value and your identity is a son or daughter of Jesus. And as a result of knowing that, you are free to work. You're free to serve your neighbors. You're free to do that in your daily, ordinary lives. freely because Jesus has paid the price for you. And so you can just tell others through your work, through your actions, and sometimes verbally too. Hey, don't be afraid like during lunch hour to go, hey, you know, maybe your coworker like comes up and goes, hey, you act different. Are you Christian? Can I ask you some questions? Don't be afraid of that. Say, yeah, let's talk. You don't think God has you? If you end up losing your job, you don't think he can take care of you? Then your God's too small. Because Jesus has got you. Because you're his son and daughter. And he loves you. No matter what. Go in that hope and that joy. Amen. Please rise.